You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Good evening and welcome to Eye on the Ball. This is Jay Gonzalez, and you're listening on 1030 The Voice. I'm going sort of solo today. Our friend and my cohort, Steve Rivera, is taking the day off, getting his long weekend started a little early on his way to New Mexico to visit some family. But we're going to have a great guest in starting right at the beginning. He's going to spend the whole hour with us. And that's Anthony Jimeno, our local college football writer, very prominent national college football writer. We're going to talk college football today. Anthony, how you doing?
I'm doing okay, Jess. I'm glad this will be the best show of the week as you get rid of all that riffraff guests you've had.
You know, those guys, Steve Kerr, all those guys, you know, we saved the best for last on this week, for the week.
I mean, the guy with eight NBA championships and the two Triple Crown winning horses and one of the most prominent ADs in the country. last week that Francona guy, who's like my personal hero because he delivered Red Sox World Championships. So he's like the greatest manager in history.
Well, we appreciate the fact that you're ready to step in and show those guys how this thing is supposed to be done.
Exactly.
So
let's go.
So I want to talk college football. I've been dying to do this. We tried to do it a little bit with Yogi Roth, but we kept coming back to the COVID stuff, and you know, we really can't talk college football without talking a little bit of COVID. And so, you know, there's some stuff that came out today. Every day there's some new stuff. Rob Mullins, the athletic director at Oregon, talked about some of the numbers and said that Oregon would lose $80 million if they didn't play football, and that they're going through some scenarios that were probably the minimum they'll lose because of social distancing and that type of stuff would be about $12 million, which, you know, is a hit to them. And then Ohio State came out and said that they don't expect to have more than 50,000 fans at any of their games, and maybe as low as 22,000. They have a 100,000-seat stadium. I mean, this is, no matter what, this is going to not be very good, don't you think?
It's not, whatever it is, it's not going to be normal. I mean, I think I've come around now to the point where I think we're going to have some football. But it's going to look different. The schedule that we look at right here on May 22nd, may not end up being the schedule we see in October. There may be, because in the top division in the FBS, there are 130 teams. It's going to be impossible to get 130 teams on the same page. So I think there may be some scrambling, some rearranging of the schedules, maybe a conference-only schedule. But to me, to hear Ohio State's hoping to get 50,000 in a stadium, that seems really optimistic.
Well, yeah.
I don't know how you do that.
I don't know how you do that either.
6 feet apart. One of the other things, there's so many challenges for athletic directors. If you're cutting your attendance by optimistically a half, maybe by 3/4, who gets in?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. You know, I'm a season ticket holder at Arizona Stadium. Yeah. Am I not going to get to go to all the games?
Right. I don't know how ADs figure that out, but that's why they get big bucks. And even at 50,000 people, how do you get 50,000 people in and out of the stadium in a timely manner?
Right.
There's a lot of challenges.
Right. In reading that article, they still don't have a plan for how they would do that and who gets to come and who doesn't get to come. So there's still a lot that has to happen in order to do that. But, you know, Dave Hickey's been on the record saying, you know, it's going to be less than capacity. You know, they're going to have fewer fans. Now, Arizona hasn't had a problem with that recently. So, you know, everybody who wants to go may be able to go anyways. But that's mean to say, but it's the reality.
Yeah, I mean, even if, say, one particular game's like, yeah, your tickets are good to go for this game, are you going to be in your regular seat?
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of questions. But at Lindy's for the magazine, obviously we had to acknowledge a little bit of this.
Right. I was going to ask you that.
Two things. We didn't really want to talk about it because that's not why people buy a preseason football magazine. And two, you can't write about anything that's going on because of the long shelf life of the magazine.
Right.
So if somebody's picking it up in maybe, you know, in a couple weeks, our national edition will be on the newsstand. Even in 2 weeks, that's like 5 years in COVID time because things are changing so fast. So, you know, what we did was we had Dennis Dodd from CBS, who's one of the, he's a frequent contributor and really one of the top few national college football writers in the country. And we just had him do kind of a, what we call the Great Reset. You know, it's not like what's going to happen tomorrow. It's what's going to happen to college football. What's college football and college athletics going to look like after all this is over? And that's kind of fascinating in itself in terms of are people going to be flocking back to the 100,000 seat stadiums? What about salaries? What about this facility's arm race that's been going on forever? Because there's just not going to be as much money to go around. But especially if schools take a hit on attendance this year, and you know, all the reports I've seen said usually football revenue accounts for on average 75 to 80% of an athletic department's income.
Right,
that's a ton. So even if that takes a small haircut, like the Oregon guy was talking about with attendance, there's changes to be made. We've already seen some of the smaller conference schools, like from the MAC or whatever, they're cutting sports. They're reducing schedules. For example, I saw, I can't remember the school of the conference, but they're going to like a 30-game baseball and softball schedule as opposed to, say, 50-some games.
50 and 60 games, right.
Yeah, to save cost. You know, you don't expect football and basketball to be cut, you know, in terms of sports or anything like that, but it's been a runaway train in terms of salaries for I want to say about 25 years, because it was a huge deal. You may remember in 1995, Bobby Bowden became the first $1 million coach.
Right.
And everybody lost their mind. Oh, why is this guy getting $1 million a year? He's a football coach. Now there are like 49 coaches making $3 million plus a year.
Right.
It's crazy.
It's nuts.
I'm not sure that was sustainable, but I think the pandemic may hasten some.
Well, do you think
back into the market?
Do you think there could be a reset there? You know, as coaches get hired, maybe starting next year. You know, okay, we got to back off because there's not enough money to go around. So, you know, Joe Blow, coach, it's been at mid major. Suddenly, he's got a Power Five job. Maybe he's not going to get $2.5 or $3 or $4 million. Maybe he's going to get, you know, $1.5 million with some incentives or something like that. Do you see a reset like that happening?
I think salaries is, that's one of the areas of reset that we identified. Maybe it won't necessarily go down or take a huge cut, but I think it'll slow, and I think there'll be some reasonableness.
Yeah.
But in there and with the buyouts.
Right.
Athletic directors are the worst negotiators. They constantly negotiate against themselves. Oh, you've got 3 years left on the contract. Let's extend you 2 years and add a big buyout.
Yeah.
And then 2 years later, they're paying that big buyout when they didn't really have to do that. So, you know, there may be, and, you know, coaches have great jobs. They're well paid. You know, we saw the coaches at Arizona temporarily take a 20% cut. You know, I'm sure nobody's happy to take a 20% cut.
Right.
But they're still doing pretty well.
Yeah, they are.
I think they'll still keep their job. I don't think it's enough to make them say, you know what, I'm going to write off into retirement. I'm done with this.
All right, Anthony, we're going to take our first break, and when we get back, we're going to start talking football on the field.
How
does that sound? All right, let's take a break.
For nearly 7 decades, Hughes Federal Credit Union has been there for its members through good times and bad. We know that by working together, we can achieve great things, like addressing your financial needs during these uncertain times. We're available for you by phone or online, via our website or mobile app. our drive-up windows are open, and we're available to help you in our branch lobbies by appointment. We've got your back today, tomorrow, and for decades to come. Visit HughesFCU.org, insured by NCUA.
This is Dr. Tom Shives.
And I'm Tracy McRae.
Listeners are bombarded with health information every day.
On Mayo Clinic Radio, we cut through the noise with reliable health news, wellness tips, and the latest research.
Straight from the experts at the world-class trusted source, Mayo Clinic.
Join us on Mayo Clinic Radio.
Saturday mornings at 11 on 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
Okay, man, this is your time. Maybe you didn't choose this, but you're here now. You're gonna go out there and be an all-star caregiver. Cook, clean, be there emotionally and physically. You gotta dig deeper. Drive them to physical therapy, doctor's appointments, because that's what caregivers do. Don't give up. Show the world that you're tougher than tough. Caregiving is tougher than tough. Find the care guides you need at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Here at 1030 The Voice, we care about Tucson. Here are some things we can do together to keep our community safe. Wash your hands for at least 20 seconds. Avoid touching our faces outside of the home. When in public, please maintain a safe distance of 6 feet. Stay home if you're sick. Cover your mouth when you cough and avoid unnecessary trips into the public. We're in this together. Help us keep Tucson safe. 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
ADHD. It's the child who can't pay attention or sit still in school, right? The answer may be yes. Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, or ADHD, can be complicated and it can last a lifetime. Up to 75% of children and adolescents with ADHD have at least one additional mental disorder that requires a comprehensive approach to treatment. Learn more at moretoadhd.com. This message brought to you in partnership with ADDA, ACO, and CHAD.
We have some amazing law enforcement agencies protecting Arizona, and we value their daily service and sacrifice. The Law Matters live show was created to open the lines of communication between law enforcement and you. So get your questions ready, set your alarm for 8, dial into AM 1030 The Voice, and join the conversation. To learn more about Law Matters and support our 501c3 mission, go to lawmatters1030.org.
Welcome back to the Eye on the Ball on 1030 The Voice. This is Jay Gonzalez, and we're here with Anthony Jimeno. We're going to start talking college football on the field. We're tired of talking about all the COVID stuff. So, Anthony, you just sent your Lindy's Sports Magazine football preview to press, and is it going to look any different than it did last year? Are we talking Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama, maybe Georgia and Florida in there for the national championship?
There's become a certain sameness in college football. Some don't like that. Some do, because you kind of begin to get some postseason rivalries, like Alabama, Clemson really became one in the last several years. Those teams you mentioned are right there. We picked Ohio State as our number one team. I think there's three choices. You could pick Ohio State, you could pick Clemson, you could go with Bama.
Yeah.
I don't think you'd be wrong on any of those. I wouldn't fight anybody to the death
right.
if they pick somebody else. But we went with Ohio State. Obviously, Justin Fields, one of the two best quarterbacks in the country, next to Trevor Lawrence. I think there are a couple things to me which kind of put Ohio State over the edge in terms of the other two teams, all in combination with each other. They've got a great, mostly senior offensive lineback full of NFL guys.
Wow,
that's huge. I love that.
That's where it all starts.
Yeah, they can replace Chase Young. I mean, nobody's really Chase Young, but those guys, probably their next star, and they have a couple possibilities. It's probably Zach Harrison, who's a sophomore, five-star kid. And Ohio State always uses a huge, a very deep rotation at defensive end. So that's a big loss for them, losing, the number two pick in the draft. But they've got guys who can do it. But on on defense, a big deal was they got Sean Wade back in their secondary. He was kind of their slot corner last year. Now he's going to move to the outside and be the next first-round Ohio State cornerback to go. And there was most people had expected him to jump into the draft last year. He decided to come back as the only returning starter in that secondary, so he really solidifies everything back there. And then just in the past few weeks, they picked up an Oklahoma running back transfer named Trey Sermon, who's definitely got a 1,000-yard talent. So that is part of the replacement for J.K. Dobbins, because one of the guys they thought was going to do that was the wonderfully named Master Teague, but he suffered an Achilles injury in the spring. Wow. So there's some doubt as to exactly when or how effectively he can come back. But when they added Trey Sermon, again, there's a guy who spent a lot of time in a timeshare at Oklahoma. But behind that line, in that offense, he can be a very productive player. So it looks like they have many of the pieces. And, you know, it's part science, part art, trying to pick these.
Well, sure.
And I think a lot of us felt that it's just Ohio State's time.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I think Ryan Day did a fantastic job last year. Now, people will say, yeah, he was using Urban Meyer's guys, and he probably largely still is. But that guy just gets it. Just like, there's just guys, coaches you see across the country, they get out in front of the media, they get out in front of their teams, and they just project a sense of calmness and the right image. And I think he's one of those guys, and he's so freaking young still. So he's going to be around for a long, long time. He's still recruiting at an amazingly high level. So guys like him and Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma, they just right. seem to get it.
That's what I was going to say. And Lincoln Riley is a guy that fits in that mm-hmm. mold where he just sees it and works it and knows how to, knows how to work a room, knows how to work the media, knows how to work the players.
Yeah, I mean, he connects with parents, he connects with kids, and he connects with media. So, he's got a great coach and a great program, a great coaching staff.
Right.
And so I think he's got the whole package. So that in summation, Jay, that's why we picked Ohio State number
right.
one.
Well, I was looking at Alabama, and they had a quarterback that played the last three games after Tua got hurt last year, and then the guy that's supposed to be his major competition is an incoming freshman. Well, he didn't have the benefit of spring ball, so how's that going to work for that whole issue? It seems to me that maybe there wasn't going to be a big gap between Alabama and Ohio State and Clemson, but maybe it's going to stretch a little more just because of that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think it's pretty close. I think everybody, probably one of the top spring quarterback battles we were all looking at was Mac Jones and the freshman you referenced, Bryce Young, who was on campus, but
not for very long.
Well, that's true. He probably got sent home, but Alabama's spring drills were canceled just hours before they were ready to start.
Right.
I mean, they were ready to get on the field and get this thing going. So the presumption is that Mac Jones, who played pretty well down the stretch, will be the guy, but that eventually they're going to have to take a look at Bryce Young too to see what he offers, to see if he can be a little bit better. Because I remember, 4 years ago now, Jalen Hurts was competing in the spring,
right?
And he looked okay, and nobody thought that Nick Saban would say, "Okay, true freshman, here's the offense to my team, go get it."
Right.
And he did, And then a year later, in the games that matter, Nick Saban turned to another
right,
freshman
right.
in Tua. So it's certainly not unprecedented where Nick Saban, over the course of the year, will take a look at what's going on at quarterback. But Alabama's got – the thing with them last year, they got slammed on defense with injuries.
Right.
Where they ended up having to play two true freshmen at their inside linebacker spots, which are their key spots on defense. But now, you know, those guys are back healthy. Dylan Moses is a guy who everybody thought would be in the NFL. He had to come back for his senior year because of the injury last year. And, you know, he's certainly an All-America talent. And as the hub, as the quarterback of that defense, I think Alabama will probably start looking more like an Alabama defense, which they didn't last year.
Right.
So they're right there.
They're right there.
They're the best in the SEC, and Clemson's Clemson. And
yep.
The great thing about Clemson is they really don't have to play anybody.
Yeah, I was looking at their schedule. Now, you know me, I take my cue from the gamblers. So I was looking at the college football win totals, and they've got Clemson at 11.5. So basically saying they're going to go undefeated. They do have to go to Notre Dame, but they're basically saying we're not too worried about that. So you know, you're basically, if you're going to take the over 11.5. You're basically betting on whether or not Clemson's going to beat Notre Dame. But, you know, after Clemson, Ohio State, and Alabama, how big is the gap to the next teams? Florida, Georgia, Oklahoma.
Second tier. Yeah, all those teams you mentioned. We have Oklahoma 4, if only for the same reason we just talked about Clemson. Their schedule's set up to go 12-0 or 11-1, or depending on how good Texas may be. Oklahoma State is really good this year, by the way. Every 3 years, we absolutely fall in love with Oklahoma State, and we get our hearts broken every time. But we're back at it. You know, we're taking the chance on them again. They've got great offensive skill.
Yeah.
So those would be the two teams, I think, in the Big 12.
In the Big 12.
That Oklahoma has to navigate, and probably has to navigate twice because of the Big 12 title game. But again, their schedule's not as arduous as some in the SEC. So we think Oklahoma could get back to the playoffs, probably lose by 20 points again or whatever it is, but they'll probably get back there.
We've got about 30 seconds. LSU falling off the planet, or where are they going?
So let me give you the rest of the top 10, and then we'll talk about it after the break. 5, Florida. 6, Penn State. 7, Georgia. 8, LSU. 9, Oregon.
Wow,
okay. Pac-12 team. 10, Notre Dame.
All right. Well, that's, you know, and again, you throw those things up in the air, and by the time the season rolls around, you just start, you know, it starts to flush out. So,
Yeah, sure.
Well, let's go ahead and take a break, and we're gonna come back, and I want to talk a little bit about, you know, other teams, and then let's talk Pac-12.
Deal.
We'll be right back.
These days, most families are concerned with having the right insurance coverage. Protecting your family, home, auto, and other valuable possessions can be challenging and sometimes expensive. Crest Insurance gives you flexible options and solutions while saving you money. Insurance is not one size fits all, and at Crest, we find the coverage that's best for you and your family. Visit us online at www.crestins.com or call us toll-free at 888-881-5765.
Tune in each Saturday at 9 a.m. for Back to Business, the program about mustering up the energy, excitement, the will, and attitude to take the bull by the horns and get Southern Arizona business up and running again. We'll talk with business leaders who'll share their experiences, knowledge, and stories of struggles and success. If you're a retailer, restaurateur, or entrepreneur who've struggled during the last few months, or just someone interested in helping small business in Southern Arizona, this show is for you. That's Back to Business this Saturday at 9 a.m. Don't miss it.
The Old Pueblo is a place with a lot of great stories to tell. You can find all episodes of the Tucson History Podcast from 1030 The Voice at KVOI.com, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. From the 1967 food giant jet crash to legendary Arizona coach Fred Snowden to the tales of Tucson's days as a Confederate capital, the Tucson History Podcast from 1030 The Voice is concise and always entertaining. Download them now at Google Play, Apple Podcasts, and KVOI.com.
Welcome back to Eye on the Ball on 1030 The Voice. This is Jay Gonzalez. My cohort, Steve Rivera, is taking an early weekend, so he's not here today. But we've got college football writer Anthony Jimeno, who's been here throughout the hour, and he's going to finish out with us. And before the break, we were talking about the Lindy's college football preview coming out in a couple of weeks, and we kind of raced through the top 10. So, Anthony, go ahead and give it to us again.
All right. So we start with Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama, and I think you're right. I think those are the – I think there's a gap between the next team. And really, I think the gap probably only goes as far as the top 10. Then I think there's another big drop-off. So at four, we have Oklahoma, and then Florida, Penn State, Georgia, LSU. There's your defending champ at number eight. Oregon is your Pac-12 leader at nine. And then Notre Dame at 10. And really, I think maybe the national championship contenders only go nine. I mean, I think Notre Dame, over the last couple of years, what they've shown us is that they can beat all the teams they should beat. But when they faced some of the upper echelon teams, they're just not quite there. They're like good enough to go 10-2, but they're not really good enough to scare Ohio State or Clemson.
Well, let's talk about the Pac-12 for a little bit. So you mentioned that you think that the national championship contenders go down to nine. So that would include you have Oregon at number nine. Yeah. You know, I'm looking at their schedule. They've got Ohio State they do have Ohio State. So, I mean, realistically, if they lose the Ohio State game, that means they've got to run the table through the Pac-12, don't you think?
Yeah, and I think a lot of that will probably be if they lose that game, what's the score? How did it play out? Was it a close game? Was it very competitive? Did they lose on a last second field goal? Or was it 52-12?
Right. Now, what if they win that game?
I think that matters. But yes, a two-loss Pac-12 team is not getting in.
Right. So if they win that game, now they'll be in the conversation probably the whole year. I mean, I'm again looking at their schedule. They've got Washington at home. They've got Stanford at home. They've got USC at home, and they've got ASU at home. I mean, that sets up well for them, doesn't it?
Yeah, very well, very well. The thing that gets me, maybe the Ohio State game never gets played. We don't really know that right now.
Right.
But the thing that gets me is that would certainly be, that might be the non-conference game of the year. If not, and I rank those somewhere in the magazine. I just can't remember. It's either probably one or two, because Ohio State, huge program, maybe a preseason number one in the polls, coming to Autzen, 50,000 crazy people. There may not be any crazy people in the stands.
There may be 12,000 crazy people, but yeah.
Yeah, so and that's a shame for Oregon, because their home field advantage just goes away.
Right.
So that's a shame. But
well, go ahead.
I mean, the thing that we love about Oregon, we do, we rank in the magazine, we rank our top 10 national units, for example, you know, top 10 receiver groups, top 10 defensive line groups, linebackers, et cetera. And I'm not smart enough to do that. So I have all my guys who write our conference previews, they do the rankings. They send it to me, and then I'm able to kind of put it in order. Oregon's got a top 10 national defensive line, a top 10 national linebacker group, and a top 10 secondary group. They're absolutely loaded. They're totally a non everything you don't expect from an Oregon / Pac-12 school. They are absolutely strong defensively all over, and that's Mario Cristobal, and that's kind of his influence, and that's how he wants to build the program. He's got more SEC DNA in him than any other coach in the league,
right.
And it shows.
Right, but they're breaking in a new quarterback.
They are. Tyler Shuck, even though that doesn't look like his last name is pronounced that way, but that's how it's pronounced. Usually I just have to worry about the spelling to names, but occasionally the pronunciation. So, yeah, obviously that's their big question.
Right, right.
They're not elite at receiver. When C.J. Verdell came coming back, he's one of the best running backs in the league. And they got great news. They had they have three guys on defense who are kind of one at each level who could have turned pro. They wouldn't have been first rounders. They probably would have been anywhere from maybe third to fifth round guys. But they all came back. They all decided to come back as one as for their senior years. And that really kind of put Oregon over the top because that defense returned so much. And the guy who's kind of leading it all is Kayvon Thibodeau at defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
Sophomore, five-star kid, could have gone anywhere in the country. Could be, I mean, you put him in any uniform in the country, and he looks the part.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what, and you know that when you've seen some of the Pac-12 schools line up against other major conference schools. Pac-12 looks small.
They don't look the same. They definitely don't look the same.
They just don't look the same.
Right.
But this guy certainly does, and I think Oregon does. So I think... Are they way ahead?
Out in front of the other teams in the North? I mean, who gives them a run? Can Washington give them a run? Stanford seems to be maybe headed the other direction right now.
Yeah, Stanford, I mean, you could always pencil. They had a run of like 7 out of 8 years where they finished in the national top 12 in the AP poll. They're not that team right now. Are they going to be a little bit better than they were last year when they were 4-8 or something like that? Yeah, but I don't think they're ready for that. Washington, we've got Washington at number 23, but is there a big difference between Oregon and Washington? Probably. And one of the reasons, again, Washington is another one of those teams, new quarterback, absolutely no experience, but they've got three or four guys on defense who are good enough to flirt with some kind of All-America honors.
Right. Right.
And especially in the defensive front. And maybe in this crazy year, I mean, if I wanted to count on anything, I'm counting on strength up front on defense. I mean, that would seem to be the thing that translates the best.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a lot of practice time to put in new schemes, work on new offenses, you know, break in new quarterbacks, that seems to be the thing that you could always count on.
Right.
But Cal could be surprisingly good.
Well, they've got them at seven wins.
Yeah, I mean, that's Justin Wilcox. This will be his fourth year. Building. He brings back Chase Garbers at quarterback. That's been the missing piece. The defense has been fantastic. Can the offense come around? Yeah, probably he's got a chance. I've seen Cal pop up in some other top 25.
Right.
We've got him outside. We've got him at number 33. But to be honest, anywhere, when you talk like 20 to 35, when you're trying to rank teams, 20 to 35, they're all the same team.
Yeah, they're all the same team.
I mean, that's why the first few picks are easy. Everything kind of falls into play. 20 to 35 is like where you make your money.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Where you have to separate teams that are all going to be 8-4.
Right, exactly.
So it could have gone a lot of different ways. It just Cal could be 23 or 33. I wouldn't really argue either way.
Right. Well, in the South, you know, it seems like they're, you know, everybody's going to be chasing Utah again. But, you know, what did you make of USC keeping Clay Helton on board?
I think my pause told you everything you need to know.
Exactly. You don't know what to think.
When they hired him, I liked it because USC needed an adult in the room. That's what I've always said. They needed an adult in the room. Now, I think he's probably shown us who he is. The thing is, okay, last year he changed offensive coordinators. That worked out pretty well. Graham Harrell, their offense took a big jump. And, of course, you had Keaton Slovis, who three-star kid, comes out of nowhere as an injury replacement and throws for 12,000 yards.
Right.
Now he's changing his defensive coordinator. So to Todd Orlando. Now, if that doesn't work out, there's only one other move with the new AD, which is the head coach.
Right.
But if the defensive coordinator does something like the offensive coordinator did last year, They'll be good. We've got SC winning the South.
Okay.
They've got the most talent.
Well, they always do.
They always do. If I had a dollar for every time I overrated USC, I'd be really rich.
Yeah.
Even at a dollar.
Right,
I've done
it
a lot. But everybody's done it a lot.
Okay.
But in April or May, when you're looking at the teams, you kind of just have to go. You have to default to the talent, and they've still got the most talent.
Yep. Okay, you got about 30 seconds to tell me if you think Chip Kelly's on the hot seat.
No.
No?
I mean, I don't think he's on the hot seat.
He's won 7 games in 2 years.
I know, but is he going to get fired? No. Is he in the hot seat? Like, dang, that guy better win.
He's got a new athletic director.
There's pressure to win. I don't think it's going to be really good, but I bet he has a huge buyout.
Yeah.
So I think some of these coaches, is there pressure to win now? Yes. Are they in danger of being fired? That may be a different question.
Yeah. Well, that's the mystery.
Kelly.
Yeah.
I miss him. I don't know what happened to that guy.
Well, I was going to say, is he being exposed for, that he really is not that great a coach and he just had lots of money and lots of talent at Oregon?
He did, but he also had a scheme that he kind of refuses to fully implement again.
I don't know
if that's his time in the NFL has kind of took him in a different direction or what, but I miss the Oregon Chip Kelly.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so Anthony, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk Arizona Wildcats. So let's take a break and come back with Anthony Gimeno.
Time to update those old kitchen cabinets? Call the Window Depot today. The Window Depot is not only the number one warehouse for windows and doors, we now have a great selection of kitchen and bath cabinets at Tucson's best prices. The Window Depot is Tucson's top spot for granite and quartz countertops to finish the new kitchen or the replacement of that old worn-out Formica. So call us today at 290-8545 or 622-6430. The Window Depot, windows, doors, granite, and new kitchens.
1030 The Voice. News from inside the Beltway.
Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt. I'm the next Hugh Hewitt Show. It's my annual Semper Fi and America's Fun Show. Maybe the most inspiring day of the entire radio year. And we do it every Memorial Day, and you step up every Memorial Day in advance. Thank you. Do not miss Monday's Hugh Hewitt Show.
Weekday mornings from 10 to noon on 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
May is National Wildfire Preparedness Month, so the American Red Cross is sharing safety tips to help protect your family in case of a wildfire. Clear debris, like leaves and branches from around your home. Store flammable materials, such as firewood and propane, at least 30 feet away from your home. Develop an emergency plan and review it with your family. And create an emergency kit filled with essentials in case of emergency. Check frequently with local radio and TV stations for wildfire news and emergency notifications. And for more info on wildfire safety, go to redcross.org.
Swap Shop trains are coming, rolling down that free market track.
Sunday mornings, you can buy, sell, or trade anything lawful and moral on the Swap Shop. Let's listen.
Oh, this is Rich.
Hi, Rich. You're on the radio. Go ahead.
I'm looking for a cow skull with horns.
Preferably with the cow nut still attached.
I don't need that BS. Literally.
Yeah, and all that stuff.
Swap Shop, Sundays 10 to 11 a.m., right before Liberty Watch.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Eye on the Ball on 1030 The Voice. This is Jay Gonzalez, sort of going solo without my cohort Steve Rivera, who's taken off for the weekend a little early. But we've got college football writer Anthony Gimeno has been spending the entire hour with us. We've gone through the national scene, the Pac-12 scene. Now we're going to talk about the Arizona Wildcats. Now, Anthony, this is where it starts to get a little personal. You know, we've known each other for a long time, and I was a former beat writer. You were a former beat writer, but I've been sitting in the seats as a fan for a lot of years, and I'm telling you, I don't think I've seen Arizona be this far away from having their name mentioned as a title contender, a Rose Bowl contender since the McVick years. I mean, what do you think?
I would absolutely have to agree with that. And now, can it still happen in your lifetime, Jay? Hopefully, you've got a some runway left for you. So yes, but I mean, this is a it's not a 2-year plan,
right?
It's probably not a 3-year plan. It's probably more like a 4-year plan if everything goes well,
and, right?
And you assume that Kevin Sumlin's the right guy,
right? Well, that...
I'm not convinced, but you know, again, he's got some time left on his clock as well.
Right. Well, and I'm not convinced either, but, and you know, I've been thinking about this, and I almost feel like this is almost a year one for him because of the whole Khalil Tate scenario, for lack of a better word, in that, you know, there was just seemed to be all this friction for whoever was causing it. I don't really care. It just seemed like there was never any kind of comfort level for either of them or for anybody, whether it was, you know, with Noel Mazzone or with Kevin Sumlin and Khalil Tate and the players and yada, 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 that, okay, the decks are kind of cleared. You know, Kevin Sumlin's got his quarterback in, you know, in place. He's got some, you know, some of his players in place. You know, this is sort of a key year. You know, it's kind of like I almost sense that there's hoping it's sort of a fresh start for everybody.
You, yeah, you would have to hope that, right? And there's some, I want to say total doom and gloom. There's some nice pieces. You know, Grant Gunnell showed some good things at quarterback last year. I don't know if he's superstar in year two, but he looked pretty good at times.
Right.
Returning 4 starters on the offensive line, that's a really good thing. That's a pretty solid line. Again, you're not ready to put them into your national top 10 offensive lines, but pretty solid. Let's give them that. Colin Schooler, Tony Fields, 4-year starters, a linebacker, Anthony Pandy, you can throw in there. Lorenzo Burns is a fine Pac-12 cornerback. You know, maybe Jamari Joyner can be that wide receiver one that the team needs.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's not, you know, there's some pieces.
Right. Well,
I think you really have to contort yourself into thinking everything's got to go right. Everybody's got to meet or exceed expectations. And almost that never happens.
Right.
You know, then you got to figure out, okay, you've got all new coaches on defense. How's that going to, what's that adjustment like? I think Paul Rhodes was a really good hire at defensive coordinator.
Well, I was going to ask you that.
He's a pro's pro. You know, the guy's a smart guy. He's been around in a lot of different places. He can coach the game. Probably a very stable guy. So, you know, there were some good hires, but how does it all mesh in a year where you didn't really have any spring ball?
Right. Well, Vegas has Arizona at 4.5 wins. The odds are kind of weird. So it's really 5 wins is what Vegas is saying Arizona's going to do over under. But uh-huh. There's only one team lower than them, and that's Colorado. So they basically have Arizona as the number 11 team in the Pac-12. I mean, what has to happen for them to be better than that?
Well, a lot of the things we talked about, and similar to last year, they have to start well. And last year they did, and they had we had 1 week of hope, right? You had one really.
They were 4-1.
4-1, you're like, oh my God, they're right there. And then it went south so fast. Seven straight losses. So again, this year is kind of set up the same way. Presuming they play a full schedule, again, you start with Hawaii this time here, this time with Todd Graham on the other sideline. And I really do not like that hire for Hawaii. I just think it's such an odd cultural fit.
Well, I was going to say
sense football wise,
yeah,
because he runs up tempo spread concepts, kind of what they were doing under Nick Rolovich. But culturally, I just don't see it.
Doesn't seem like a good fit.
I'm a little uptight. I mean,
yeah,
that doesn't That just doesn't seem to fit the vibe of the island. But anyways, Hawaii, after their great year sending their Cole McDonald off to the NFL early at quarterback, maybe they won't be quite as good. They, a couple of the receivers that just tormented Arizona last year are also gone.
Yeah.
So, okay, you got Hawaii, then you got Portland State. So if you're Arizona, you're thinking you're 2-0. Then you open again, you got your third home game in a row against Stanford. That's going to be a real toss-up directional game. Which way is your season headed?
Right.
Then you have to go to Texas Tech, which Arizona won last year, knocked out their quarterback in that game, as I recall. I wouldn't really expect Arizona to win at Texas Tech this year. Then you got to go to UCLA, probably another kind of toss-up game. And Colorado, which Arizona's had great success with Colorado.
Right.
So out of those six games, you know, if you can get at least four, you've got some midseason hope.
You've got a shot. Do you have
them? Then it all turns. You're not going to be favored again.
Right. Do you have them fifth in the league in the South?
We got them sixth. We got them behind Colorado.
You got them behind Colorado, really?
Yeah, really? have you seen Arizona team?
Carl Durrell, he's got a tough job over there. He hasn't even seen his players.
Did you see who Colorado hired? I don't know. Good guy.
Okay, we're going to throw something down on that one about who finishes ahead of, you know, Arizona or Colorado. We're going to have to a little side action on that one.
All right.
So, I mean, I don't know. Again, you know, when you saw what they did last year, they were 4-1 at one point, and to look at their first six games this year, which all seem to be winnable, mm-hmm. I'm not saying they're going to win them all, but they're winnable games. I don't know. Maybe the 4.5 is a good number.
It is a good number. I mean, that's like, yeah, they definitely, Vegas picked the number, which makes it really hard.
Right.
I'm not sure. I wouldn't go over 5. I really wouldn't.
Yeah.
If 5 was my number to make money, I'm probably not touching it at all, but I'm not betting on Arizona winning 6.
Yeah. We've got a few seconds left. Who's the breakout player for Arizona this year? Who do we keep our eye out on?
Let's go back to Jalen Harris.
Okay.
Arizona needs more than 17 sacks for a season.
Yeah.
And maybe with a new coordinator, another year of getting bigger and stronger, maybe he's the guy.
Anthony, I appreciate you being here and spending your Friday night with me. Give your wife a big hug for letting you do that. And we'll hopefully see you around pretty soon.
All right, man.
Have a great weekend. Thanks again, everybody.